really is. And last week, I just took a couple minutes talking about it, but that very first encounter is huge, right? We talked about Paul. When you look at Rome and you think of the Roman Empire and you realize when Jesus was crucified by the Jewish nation, but only Rome could actually do capital punishment. So that he was crucified by the Roman Empire, by their authority. And the Roman soldiers, right? Remember that? They crucified him. They beat him. They tortured him. They abused him. Rome is a very powerful place. And when you think of Rome, if you're a Bible scholar at all, you know that Paul ended up in Rome. When he ended up at the end of his life, he went to Rome in prison. And Rome brings up a lot of things. But in that story about Paul, remember, if you study the Bible, Paul was actually known as Saul, S-A-U-L, and he was one of the leading religious leaders of his day, and he led the Jewish nation in persecuting Christians, in imprisoning Christians, in murdering Christians, in abusing them, men, women, and children, and he was filled with hatred and passion, and really, Rome is about this. I want to talk to you today about persecution, pain, suffering. And I think Rome was just a symbol of that. When you see that huge Colosseum, that place was a place of torture and murder and entertainment in the most abusive ways you could imagine. And the early Christians died in that Colosseum as entertainment for the Roman people, done by the Roman government. You see, we complain about our government. We don't have a clue about this. And so that's a great, you know, it's amazing that thing still stands. 2,000 years ago that was built, and it still stands in Rome. And Rome was the center of the world at that time. Now, I want to look at just a couple scriptures and talk about it. The first thing that happened was right after Jesus was rose from the dead, after he crucified and buried and rose, the Christian church exploded, right? Remember the day of Pentecost, over 2,000 people were added, and they were passionate. And you know what the Christian church was passionate about? Loving people. Taking care of widows and orphans. They turned the world upside down by saying, we admire the hurting, we admire the lost. When you want to hear about from Jesus today, you want a really great encounter with Jesus, the more darkness you're in, the bigger encounter you're going to have. It's true. I know, I'd clap too, Crystal, I'd clap. Because I'm telling you, the worse your problems, the more you're going to experience. I challenge you. You know, what we're tempted to do is, because we're all used to doing this, we're tempted to coming into church and just tuning out, right? But is there anyone in here that doesn't have something going on in their life? Something that hurts? Someone you love? There's nobody. If you say there's no one in your life, then you've got a very, very, very small life as far as people's concerned, and I don't think you're telling me the truth. Guys, some of you are struggling with things. If we knew, if your friends knew, if we knew, you would have great compassion for us. But you see, we're raised in a world where the more you struggle, the more you're judged. You know that. You know that. If you can't stand up and be strong, you're weak. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus brought. He said, I've come for the broken, the weak, the hurting. I've come for people who have needs. And that's what he did. And so he had this great guy named Stephen. He was one of the people in the early church. I mean, early, right, the first few weeks after Jesus rose from the dead, the church that began to follow him began to organize because they didn't have any social programs. And if there was a widow, if there were orphans, if there was brokenness in your home, there were no resources for you, and you literally starved to death. And you were put in prison, you were made slaves. And Stephen and the rest of his friends, against everything the Jewish nation and the Roman nation believed, started taking care of widows and orphans. Doing something good. Have you ever been doing something good? Guess what happened to Stephen, right? They asked him, why he was doing that, and he told them because of Jesus. And the Bible says they were overtaken with violent rage at Stephen for feeding widows. And Stephen, overtaken with great faith, was full of the Holy Spirit. He fixed his gaze into the heavenly realm, and that's what the encounter is about. Stephen was in the midst. He's about to get stoned. He knew what was going to happen. And in the hardest moment of his life, it says he fixed his eyes in heaven. And something came over him. Something happened to him. You see, today what Pastor Tim was saying and what a lot of those songs we just worship God with are saying is, bring your pain to me. Bring your struggles to me. Don't pretend you're strong. Don't deny that you have struggles. Bring them to me. But you and I weren't raised in a world where we do that. We don't want anybody to know about our struggles, right? We overcome our struggles. We're strong. It's not what Stephen did. And it's interesting, when Stephen did that, he fixed his eyes into heaven and he saw the glory and splendor of God. And he saw Jesus. And you know, have you ever read the Bible? You know what this says. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father on a throne in heaven. Every time you read about that, that's what Jesus is doing right now. He's seated at the right hand of God. Well, you know what? When Stephen said, Jesus, I need you, all Stephen did was admit he needed him. When he did that, Jesus stood up. And he looked Stephen in the eye, and something happened inside of Stephen. Today, God wants you to do that. God is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is seated there waiting for you and me to say, I need you. Jesus, God, this is hard. During worship, I was thinking that. There's been days when we've worshiped and we worship and we worship and it's been hard and hard and there's stuff going on and there's pain going on and there's brokenness going on and there's no breakthrough and it looks like darkness is going to take over the world. And in the middle of worship, it's like, God, I need you. And he comes. And something happened inside me. And it's okay. It's better than okay. You see, that's what happened to Stephen. You need Jesus to stand up on your behalf. And you know who he's going to stand up for today? Those of us who he prompts to bring our cares and our burdens to him. And he'll stand up and you get his attention, right? And guess what happened to Stephen? He said, look, I can see the heavens opening and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Man, when you see that, and you know what? We still get stoned today. Not by rocks. Our stones are much more seductive and deceptive than that. Our stones are like this. You're not as good as those people. She's judging you. You're a failure. You're not enough. Your IQ is not near as much as... You don't have as much money. You haven't had a silver spoon life like they've had. I mean, have you looked in the mirror lately? That's the stones that get thrown at us. Well, look at your hair, what's left of it. Who said easy? Stephen. Yeah. I mean, what is it? What's the stones that you get that you face every day because you face them? Lie to me and tell me you don't. I'm not as smart as them. Shoot, I'm trying to write this book and I realize I know nothing about grammar. How in the world did I graduate elementary school and high school and college and graduate school and not know anything about grammar? I must be the dumbest rock that's ever lived. Oh, Alan, you don't think that, do you? You want in my head? I'm the one that says things that's funny, that aren't funny. And I know it. That's what's really bad. I was talking to a friend of mine recently about being autistic. What are you, Alan? I'm an autistic pastor. Who cares? Well, but you laugh when you shouldn't, and you do this, and you shouldn't, and it looks like you're mad, and you're really compassionate. I'm like, great, I'm trying to be compassionate. I don't know how to make my face is not hooked to my emotions like yours is. That's not normal. Well, it's me. You think I don't get rocks? You think I don't get rocks? Guys, you get rocks too. What about your job? Do you get the promotions? Do you get recognized? Is your family as good as that family? They're perfect. Guys, we still get stoned today. We still get stoned today. I need Jesus to stand up. And when I look, put my gaze on heaven, oh, you'll never get over this. You'll always be a loser. And then I look into heaven, and when I lock eyes with Jesus, this all doesn't matter. Stephen was about to get stoned to death. I think that's a horrible way to die, especially if you have some really weak arm, mamby-pamby, still on the rocks. It's a horrible death. And as they hurled the stones at Stephen, he said, Lord Jesus, accept my spirit into your presence. Lord Jesus, I'll get y'all there so y'all can see it. That's what he said. And then he said, God, forgive them. He said, God, forgive these people who are stoning me. And one of the men, Saul, who we now know as Paul, Saul was the official there approving of the murder. And Stephen said, God, I forgive that man. I forgive him. Not that it didn't hurt. Jesus is wanting you to bring you your pain, your struggles, your burdens, your problems, everything in your life. Like Tim said, 100 times this week, instead of you manning up and pushing through and using your great wisdom, I know we're all smarter than God, I know, right? Instead of depending on yourself without Him, give Him you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We were taught, don't bring Jesus the weakness. What did Jesus tell the father who brought the son to him, who was throwing himself in the fire and dying and killing himself? He said, Jesus, can you heal him? And Jesus said, if you can believe. And the man said, I help my unbelief. He didn't say, I believe. He didn't say, I didn't have unbelief. He just said, help me, Jesus. And Jesus healed the boy. Jesus just wants you to say, help me. Help me. Don't be ashamed of needing His help. So you found Saul approving of his murder, right? It says, Saul mercilessly persecuted the church of God for a long time, months. He had a reputation in the entire nation of Israel that he hated followers of Jesus. He hated those people who loved when they shouldn't love. He hated those people who gave, who served, who wouldn't pick up swords and fight the Roman government, but loved Romans. He hated them with passion, right? And he dug off men and women and kids and put them in prison. He was a great guy, wasn't he? And you see, the truth is, we were all there at some point. Maybe you didn't do this, but Jesus said hating is just the same as murder. Maybe you weren't as big a leader as Saul was, so you didn't lead a whole nation of people against somebody, but maybe you were judging people too. You see, we were all here because there's no life without Jesus. And then what happened to Saul? It's funny. Saul was on his way he got official documents to go to another region and arrest Christians and persecute them, and in the middle of this hatred, in the middle of his anger, because the truth is, Jesus knew something. Saul needed to encounter him. And I said that about Cody. Cody and their small group years ago encountered Jesus. And his life was changed forever. Not perfect, but it was changed. And guys, today Jesus wants to beat you. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. It doesn't matter. The worse you are, the better it is for Christ. He'll come. You'll experience him. And so Jesus said, Saul, said a brilliant light flashing from heaven exploded around Saul, you know, knocked him off his horse, knocked everybody down when you read all those accounts. And he heard a booming voice say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the men were stunned and speechless, and y'all know the story. And then Saul, so smart, he's like, he knows power has just walked into his room that he's never heard of before. And he said, who are you? And Saul, I'm Jesus, the light of the world, the Savior, the one, I am love, and why are you persecuting me? And do you know something happened to Saul when he had an encounter with Jesus? Can't explain it, guys. I know it's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I know all the theology. But I'm telling you that when I'm hurting and I put my gaze on heaven and I wait for him, when I have an encounter with him, something supernatural happens in this body. That's fun. Marcia, would you come up here? Marcia had an encounter with Jesus recently that's worth writing a book about. We should put it like in, I'll help you. I'll get your speaker thing for you. Some people call these microphones. I call them speaker things. You speak into them. Makes sense to me.
So the other night, we were watching the news, and after watching it, I just had all these negative emotions, just fear and like just chaos and just really felt the heaviness of all the things I heard. And so we went to bed, and I just said, Lord, I need to hear something from you. I need something from you. I just don't like the way I'm feeling right now. And so during the night or early in the morning, I don't remember, but I had a dream. And in the dream, there was, you know, people walking around, and it was like everyone was feeling the same way. Everyone was full of fear. Chaos and just confusion and just, you know, what in the world is going on? And I looked up in the sky, and there were these eagles flying. And it's like I just knew that that is how God sees me. That is where I'm supposed to be, flying above all the chaos and all those feelings I was having, that I'm supposed to be above that. And that's the way he sees all of us, and that's the way he wants us to see ourselves.
Come on, come on. You can put it up, thank you. You see what happened to Marcia? In her heart, like I would fix it by saying this, don't watch the news before you go to bed. What are you? Don't do it. It's negative. You'll have bad dreams. Instead, Marcia's heart turned to the Lord. And he stood up, and he gave her a dream with eagles, and it took all of her fear away. What took her fear away? Her intelligence? No. Jesus. Guys, what are you getting in your life today? That's why you need to hear from the Lord today. Now, you see, I think sometimes we think when you follow Jesus, you're not supposed to have problems. Have you checked out Paul's life? After he met this guy on the road, after he met Jesus on the road, you know what happened? This is bad. I mean, instantly, persecution broke out against him. The Jews wanted to kill Paul now because their top guy has become a traitor. And then he goes on. There's all kinds of stories. You can read about him all over. Acts 14, half the New Testament, Paul wrote it, and it's a lot about him. Some of the Jews who opposed Paul and Barnabas in Antioch and Iconium arrived and stirred up the crowd against them. They stoned Paul for doing good. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Have you ever been hurt for doing good? Right in the middle of good, someone turns their back on you, someone betrays you, someone accuses you. Right in the middle of doing good. That hurts. It hurts. That's what happened to Paul. And it's interesting, you see what happened. They stoned him. And I want to let you know, stoning wasn't a punishment, it was an execution. It was not a punishment. It was like the cross. No one came down off the cross alive. No one got up from stoning alive. And it says, I just want you to know that. They stoned him and dragged his body outside the city, because you didn't leave a dead body laying in the city. And then, when the believers encircled Paul's body, he miraculously stood up. And he went back into the city. And the next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. That word there, you just need to know this. The Greek word that's used there, anastema, is used 27 times in the New Testament for people being raised from the dead. Paul was dead. And it says his friends gathered around him, and they had encounters with Jesus, and that brought Paul into an encounter with Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes you're all alone, and you think, why do we need each other? If Paul hadn't had his friends with him, he'd still be dead. See, you guys make a difference in your friends' lives. I've heard a testimony this morning of someone here that made a difference in someone else's life. Guys, we want people to have encounters with Jesus. This morning, I believe what we're supposed to do, one thing, is some of you need to have an encounter with God. And some of you need to bring that person to an encounter with God. It's not the way God always does it. But Jesus said he's going away so the Holy Spirit can be in us and we can bring him to other people. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. I believe that there's struggles going on in some of ours in this room that you have to have help to get out of the grave. And you're in the grave, but you're not dead, but you're in the grave. You need help. I believe we're going to see miracles today. So when God's speaking to you, I think you should know that. And then a lot of people came to know Jesus. A lot of people because of Paul's life. And it goes on. And so you look at Paul's life. Look what it says in verse 22. Each place they went, they strengthened the lives of the believers and encouraged them to go deeper. They were going back and revisiting the cities they'd already been to. And they taught them. How come we're not taught this in church, guys? This is a secret. It's a key. It's true. We're just taught about getting saved. I want you to get saved. I think that's an amazing gift. The gift of evangelism is indispensable to the church, right? It's one of the five-fold ministry, evangelist. But I want to tell you, there's another gift the church needs, and it's this gift. He said, they taught them it is necessary for us to enter into the realm of God's kingdom. Because it's only as you're spending time looking this way that you can stand the persecution and the pain of this way. You see, I think we get this crazy idea, guys. I get it too, and I'll say it sometimes. Christ can do all things. You're an overcomer. You're the head. You're not the tail. And we pray for miracles. We pray for blessing. And I know it's the best way to live is to following Jesus. You'll have life if you follow him. And your children will have life. And your children's children will have life. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. You see, we believe that following Christ means he's going to take all the problems away. What it means is, even when you have problems, you'll be able to go through. Paul said, guys, we've got to teach these people this, because they lived in a day when a bunch of the Christians ended up in that Colosseum. They had their homes taken from them. The Roman government could do anything they wanted to anybody with no fault. And the Jews hated them too, so nobody wanted them. And Paul said, we need to teach you that you need to spend time right here. That's where the power comes to not just survive, but to triumph. It's the only way we will endure our many trials and persecutions. I want you to learn that. Encounters are how you start life. Encounters are how you successfully navigate life. Do you want to have a good life? Keep having encounters with Jesus. Keep on. be desperate to have encounters with him. You know, I get tired of worship sometimes. No, that was really came out wrong. There. Y'all got it? I can't say it in English. I don't get tired. I get tired during worship. And sometimes I worship when my heart's breaking, when I'm discouraged, when I don't see light coming from heaven. I worship anyway because I know I've got to enter into that realm. And when I'm in that realm, it overwhelms this realm. And then I can walk in miracles and powers and signs and wonders, and the demons flee and the sick are raised from the dead. Only because of him. So, guess what they did? This was great. The Roman officials, this is a great story. You need to read the whole thing. It's really interesting. The Roman officials arrested Paul and Silas, stripped their garments, and beat them with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into a jail and commanded to guard them. And the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and put them in hands and feet bound. Rather uncomfortable after you've been beaten almost to death. And then, what did Paul and Silas do? What do you do when you're in trouble? Work harder? Complain? Drugs? What do? Paul and Silas looked at heaven. And the guys in the prison were like, what are those two doing? They've just been beat. And suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. And all at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. And y'all can go read the rest of that story. It's very interesting. The prisoners didn't escape, because the jailer was going to kill himself, because if the prisoners escaped, the head guy was going to die by the hand of the government. And they didn't escape. Then what happened? Encounters with God. Why did it happen? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. Are you living life without excitement, without motivation? Are you numb, dull? Only through encountering Jesus that will it give you an energy and a purpose and a joy. So you know what you do? You bring that to him. You see, we try to live without him and say, oh, I'm going to get here and then I'll come to Jesus. No, it's Jesus, I'm here. And I'm coming to you because you're the only answer. And he'll motivate you. He will fuel you. And he did that for Paul. It's like Paul's whole life, you know, you can read in Corinthians, you know, he was talking about those super apostles. He said, guys, I don't want us to do this, but I've worked harder for God than all of them. I've taken more beatings than all of them. I've been dragged to more prisons than all of them. I've been flogged excessively multiple times, even to the point of death. And on top of that, he's received five times 39 lashes, which is what they did to Jesus right before he went to the cross. Paul had it happen to him five times. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once they stoned him and he died, and God rose him from the dead. Three times he was shipwrecked, and he goes on and on. He's faced every problem you and I or anybody in the world has ever faced. And how did he survive all of this? And that's what he tells us. He's worked to the point of exhaustion. He didn't have sleep, water, hungry, cold, clothing. Besides the daily pressure of loving people who are hurting. He knew everything we've ever experienced, I believe. And he said, I'm not aloof, for who is desperate and weak, and I do not feel their weaknesses. Paul never stood up and said, I'm better than you. I'm strong. He openly said, I struggle, guys. Who's not led astray into sin? I do not burn with zeal to restore him. I'll boast. Guys, and we aren't taught this in the church. I'll boast in my weakness, Paul said. We don't do that. We boast in our triumphs because we get promoted. The truth is, Paul said, oh, no. I boast in my weakness. Then he talks about amazing revelations that God's given him, amazing encounters in heavenly realms. And he said, you know, he did this funny thing in this verse 1 and 2 here in 2 Corinthians 12. But then he says, you know why I have those kinds of revelation? Because of my union with Christ. And it wasn't once. It was continual. And you know what drove Paul turns something into, and I want to read this verse because it's really true. My grace is always more than enough for you. My power finds its full expression through your weakness. So do you want to experience everything God has for you? Bring him your weakness. Bring him your grave. Bring him your dungeon. Bring him your problems. Unashamed. Like Paul. Guys, I'm struggling here. Jesus, I need you. And when you do that and you have an encounter with him, his strength finds full expression in you. And Jesus has found a vessel on earth he can use. And he moved powerfully through Paul. When I'm surrounded with troubles on every side, that's what Paul said, and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. How do you get more mature? How do you get stronger? How do you get more joy, peace, purpose? It's by bringing Jesus your problems, your challenges, your failures, your reality. Don't hide it. Bring it to him. You see, we sang that earlier about shame. This is shame. A shame you don't belong here anymore. Well, that means you're all perfect? That is not what it means. That means you bring it to him, what you're ashamed of. Jesus, I'm bringing it to you. I'm not ashamed that I'm not like them, whoever they are. I'm not ashamed that I think this way or I think that way or I can't do this or I'm they're better than me at that. I'm not ashamed of that, Jesus. I'll bring it to you. And when you do, you're going to be made stronger. And I love this last sentence, the way that the Passion Translator translated that. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. You want to experience power? People in America, we're so funny, the Christian church, we'll go a long ways to be exposed to the power of God. You know, healing, miracles, prophetic, all that. We'll go forever to experience God's power. Paul said, bring him your weakness and you'll become a portal. It won't just be you experience God's power. Other people's going to experience it through you. Guys, that's the secret to power. And I think Paul lived there every day. You see, it's not bad to be hungry. It's not bad to need something. It's not bad. It's not bad. It becomes a problem when we don't bring it to him. When you try to fix yourself in the world, then it becomes a bondage in your life. You see, but when you bring it to Jesus, it becomes a source of power. So, guys, let's do that. This week, let's bring our weaknesses to him. Joyfully bring it to him, and he will overwhelm you and overwhelm everything inside of you. Does that mean you won't experience pain? Oh, no, I'm not saying that. Sometimes he protects us. I mean, if you know the truth, he probably kept everyone in this room alive way more than we deserve to be. But the truth is, he doesn't stop every bad thing from happening to us. But if you'll go to him, he'll make a way through it. And it'll become a place of triumph when the devil meant it for a place of failure. So your weakness becomes a portal. It's not a problem. It becomes a door for him. So this morning, I think that we need to open some doors for him. You know, personally, open some doors for him. What is your problem? Well, I don't like thinking about my problem. Oh, has that fixed it for you? I mean, really, you know. Well, I do everything I can to not even ever even admit I have a problem. I know. How's that going for you? Has it stopped? Has it got that mountain off your back? Has it got you out of that pit? Yeah, but I'm so used to being depressed. It's just who I am. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It's not true. Depression is a portal to experience the power of God. Well, what are you saying? Listen, guys. You can pretend there's no struggle in this world, but it's not true. We all do. This morning, I believe you just need to honestly say, God, I need you. I need you. And I think God's response to that, He stands up and He'll look at you. You need to admit, God, these stones, I'm getting stoned right now. What do you do when those stones just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming? That's what happens. God didn't take him out of the stoning. He brought him through it. God wants to bring you through. He might take you out. That'd be great. But if he doesn't take you out, he wants to bring you above it, like he did Stephen. And you know what? Saul saw Stephen die, and Saul gave his life to Jesus and changed the whole world. Stephen was good. He knew something. He experienced something. So, guys, what do you have? What do you have? What kind of stones have been hitting you between the eyes? How you been dealing with them? Don't tell me you're not getting hurt, because you are. Words, looks. Your own. The problem is the ones you that are sensitive, you're hurting yourself. You figure it out all by yourself without anybody else throwing anything at you. What kind of stones are hitting you? Oh, I'm just not doing good enough. I'm not a good dad. Not a good mom. Look at my past. What kind of stones did you get hit with in the past? I mean, God reminded me. He said, Alan, remind them that I am not limited to time and space. God is not limited to time and space. Jesus is present at every point in history right now. He has no problem in going back. You said, well, I was alone when that happened. I was all alone. I was powerless. I was being destroyed. Jesus, nobody was there. Absolutely true. Why don't you invite Jesus there? Because it's no problem for him to go back 50 years. He's there now. That's how you need him at those places where you got hurt. You need him at the places where you were alone. And when he comes, you won't be alone anymore. And you'll change. So this morning, what's God saying to you? What are you holding on to that he wants? And maybe you've just been stoned like Paul was. Paul got stoned. Stephen got stoned. Paul's friends gathered around him after he was stoned, and God raised him up. I believe God wants to raise somebody up today. That you have been hit and hit and hit and hit and to the point where you can't stand anymore, and maybe you're already dead. How about letting some people gather around you and bring you up today? Let's see a miracle, huh? Let's see the power of God expressed in our weakness. So I just need some weak people, some people that have needs, some people that are hurting, some people that are hurting for somebody they love that's hurting. All we need is weak people. Jesus will be here. Okay? So let's all stand up. Do I have a Stephanie going to play the piano today? Hi, Stephanie. You're very patient. She's standing back there for like an hour and a half. She was participating, right? So, Patrick, just have a few people that want to pray come up here. Harvey, you may want to come up and too with your people. Because I think, let's don't leave here dead. Do not leave here dead. Let's come alive, right? So I believe part of the deal is this. Jesus comes to the people who need him. part of the way of needing him is going to be by you coming up and letting somebody pray for you. It's nothing supernatural, but it's totally supernatural, right? So I think this is true. I didn't have time to take communion during worship because I was encountering God during worship. This stays open during the ministry time, so you can come up and have communion and experience God on your own during the ministry time too, okay? So let's pray. So God, I just thank you today that you see things. And God, I thank you that Paul is a great example and model for us of someone who experienced your power in the middle of trials and pain and suffering. So God, I just ask today that you would, each one of us would pause for a second, turn our attention to you and listen. So I just want to encourage you, just listen right now. Come on, King. So what's the Lord saying to you? Let's get off that roller coaster you've been on. Let's do something different today. Let's try Jesus, huh? So thank you for being here this morning. The ministry team's up here, and we want to pray with you, and we want to help you any way we can, okay? Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday.